And we are at 83 degrees. I'm going to have the opportunity and pleasure, as I've been telling you today, to visit with Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics CEO, Mike O'Neill. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. Thanks, sir.
It's nice to see you.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, I'm pretty excited about this conversation. I'm just really looking forward to it. So I think this is a really cool thing that we're going to get to talk about here. We have Mr. Ron Claver, CEO. What title am I looking for, Mr.?
Has been.
No, I'm not going to say has been. There's an official title.
CEO Emeritus.
That's what I'm looking for.
It means I'm old and ready for pasture.
I don't think has been has anything to do with it. So
pasture. CEO ready for pasture.
What's the most fun thing you've been doing? You're still involved in.
I'm working on these historical archives and finding all the old things that will soon be making public for people to look at. It's really been fun. And
very cool.
So I've got things I'm digging up from the 40s, literally from the 40s.
Wow.
When the Murphy Hospital was built way back then. And so we're going to get that digitized and made available to the public. So that's my post-retirement project. But it's been great fun.
And we have Dr. Kim Truca with us as well. Dr. Truca, how are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
Pull that mic a tad bit closer. And okay. I'm doing very well. Nice to see you, Dr. Truca.
Nice to see you.
It's a pleasure. You guys don't know this, but one of the first doctors I met when we moved to Iowa was Dr. Kim Truca.
Fantastic.
Wow. Yeah,
a long, long time ago. You don't know that, do you, Dr. Truca?
I do now.
So, absolutely. Okay, Mr. O'Neill and Dr. Truca, I want to dive into a press release, and it, I guess is official at this point, that MCMH will be purchasing Dental Care PC.
Yes.
I don't know. Mike, I'm going to say to you, where do we want to start with this announcement? I want to get into the details a little bit here. So.
You bet. Yeah. So the board of directors did have their board meeting this morning, and all were present. And as part of their process, we did have a resolution authorizing the acquisition by MCMH to acquire Dental Care PC here in Red Oak.
Yes. And that was approved.
And that was approved.
Yes. So take me back. I want to hear how this happened. As much as we can tell, how did this start? How did the conversation start? A few of the challenges that maybe have had or are coming. Let's talk about that a little bit. So,
yeah.
Mr. O'Neill.
Yeah. So, you know, when I knew I was coming on the air last week, I couldn't see being here today without having Ron here. Ron, as you know, being a predecessor here of mine, was very instrumental in those early on discussions with Dr. Truca here. So I'm going to let him take over and talk to you a little bit about those early trials and tribulations and really how that discussion transpired.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so it really starts with Dr. Truca giving me a call and saying, can we visit about a problem?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is access to dental care, especially for certain insurances, especially for Medicaid and so forth, and the deficit in Southwest Iowa. And so those were the early discussions. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit,
Dr. Truca? Yeah, so it's just been something that we've had on our mind for many years practicing, and just for access for patients. And when we're getting older in our practice and deciding, okay, what are we going to do? We thought, you know, maybe we should talk to the hospital and see if there's something that we can do, maybe a little bit different than just transferring, you know, to someone else.
Right.
So then we called and started to talk.
And then the conversation evolved.
Yeah, so that discussion started literally 2 years ago in May, April or May, something like that,
okay.
2 years ago. And it's really about access to care. There are certain folks who just can't get access to the care that they need. They call up and the dentist says, well, we don't take Medicaid or we don't take that insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so expanding that is something we picked up as a challenge.
And Aaron, if you look, and we do this monthly, our social determinants of health surveys, predominantly it is dental care or lack of access to dental care is the majority of the pie when you look at those surveys.
Yeah, right.
They just have a need for that. have no access to that.
Exactly. The questionnaire that people answer when they come to see the doctor or mm-hmm. in one of our clinic visits, mm-hmm. you know, they walk through those questions. And most folks answer no. But to Mike's point, we have a high percentage of people who have difficulty finding dental care and the insurances. So that started us down the road of looking at programs that we could use and leverage the hospital's resources and capabilities to see if we could, you know, affect a positive change.
Yeah.
And so that's how we got started with this. So you've heard me talk about Rural Health Clinic mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm.
Rural Health Clinic is a process, and it primarily is a payment classification. And so when you're a rural health clinic, you can do certain things. And so those include dental care and behavioral health, as well as medical care.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, what we're trying to do here is improve access to not only medical care, but dental care and behavioral health. So Dr. Truca has been very gracious to work with us so that we can take her facility downtown mm-hmm. and turn it into what would be essentially a community health center, where we do dental care, basic health care, and even some after hours and maybe urgent type care, as well as behavioral health.
She has great facilities down there. I've been there many times. So,
yeah.
But you mentioned when you're talking Medicaid and health insurance, here's what I know. These are highly regulated.
Yes.
And it takes, how does that happen? Because this is a fairly unique thing within the state of Iowa, right? So tell me how that happens.
Yeah, well, we're working with the state of Iowa to, you know, walk through all of the hoops. And so not everything is completely, you know, tied up yet, but it's very close. And so we have a strong indication from the HHS and the state of Iowa that this is something that we can get done. And so we're moving headlong toward it. And, you know, I just appreciate Iowa HHS and all the officials there for giving us the indication that this is something that we can do in Iowa.
This is unique in the state of Iowa. So, or will be unique when this officially takes place.
It is, but it's not unique in the country.
Right.
Many, many states have this. And we're just working with the state of Iowa to affect a positive change and improve access to care.
So, Dr. Truca. So what does that mean for Dr. Truca? You're retiring? You're going to stay on? You're going to run your dental care? Yeah. How does this work?
I'm going to stay on. And so they know how to run a rural health care center, but mm-hmm. not necessarily the dental part.
Yes.
So
and
I am going to be the help with that part, but I would like to stay on and I will be an employee and do all the dental work.
That's exciting, so,
yes,
is it not?
Very.
So when does this officially, and I'm going to throw a name out there, and this is not the official name, but when Montgomery County Memorial Hospital or MCMH Dental, mm-hmm. when will that become official, or do we have a time that takes place?
We are shooting for early January of 2027 to be able to get our few steps that we still need to do, and then the state will finish up their few things that they need to do.
Okay. So yes. Look for that to come about. This will provide access to many more people.
Yes.
In Red Oak, Montgomery County, and Southwest Iowa.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of the goal, right?
Exactly.
Well, I think with that too, Aaron, part of this is also recruiting another dentist into this as well. So
is that challenging?
It is.
In rural America today, I know that I've had the opportunity to visit sometimes, and I don't know why. I think people need to recalibrate, but coming to rural America in my mind is a step up.
It is. So, you are correct.
But some people don't look at it that way necessarily. So are there challenges there with recruiting dentists?
You know, this is a different model, right? So will there be challenges? That's a question mark. Currently, I think in Dr. Truca's world, there are mm-hmm. challenges to
yes.
recruiting a dentist to an independent practice in rural communities.
Mm-hmm.
We now have a different model. What will that open up for opportunities for dentists who are out there who are looking to, they want to go back to the rural areas, but just don't have that right mix to work with? We're broadening that outlook.
Mike speaks to the core problem with bringing professionals into rural America.
Man,
and it applies to doctors and nurse practitioners and anesthetists and CRNAs and all of them. To open up your own, you know, shop and hang out your own shingle requires significant investments on top of school debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're finding now is in the dental world, 75% of dentists want to work for a employer that provides benefits, retirement, and they don't have to hassle with the business end.
Yeah.
And that's what a hospital excels at. And we do that with you know, all of our physicians, all of our nurse practitioners, and pharmacists now, as you know.
Yes, yes.
So we can do that for dentists too and really help with the recruiting and provide a benefit and retirement package that is fantastic.
This is something to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, so this will be the first one in the state.
In a rural health clinic setting.
In a rural health clinic setting.
Right.
It seems to make perfect sense. When you think of, you know, rural health care, Montgomery County, I mean, you know, from our perspective, it seems like it's a perfect sense, and it seems like this is kind of like a no-brainer to me, but maybe not. I don't know.
You know, again, we've been working with the state very closely. There's a few hurdles to get through yet.
Are we literally changing state law and state code?
We are changing, I think, administrative policy.
Yes.
You know, I think the law allows it. The Medicare, Medicaid, CMS law allows it. The state of Iowa is preparing to allow it to occur administratively.
Yes.
So,
and with who you're talking to, you're confident enough to say this is going to happen at this point.
We believe that, again, we don't want to get ahead of things and say,
yes,
you know, everything's absolute. But at the same time, we have the assurances that we feel that we need to act. And so, as Mike noted, we've been at this for a long time, and we feel like now's the time to say yes. We're going to move forward and get the word out.
So,
you know, when you said it was a no-brainer,
yeah,
everyone that we've talked to, political and or otherwise, has had a positive reaction about this. They're
and
like, this is a good idea.
It's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, some things, it's like, why hasn't this? I mean, it has in other states, apparently.
Right.
So
I think that's really an excellent point. Is that all over the nation there are states that have done this. And we've researched them. We've mm-hmm. talked with them. We've visited with these states. We've gone deep into it to find out what's going on. And yeah, it makes sense. So officials in Iowa have agreed this makes sense. So we're inching our way towards that.
Okay. So there are a few hurdles. That's what I'm hearing. There are a few hurdles left to clear, but you're confident that that is going to take place. Then early January of 27, it will be under the guidance and ownership of MCMH Plus Clinics, but Dr. Truk is still there.
Yes,
you can. If Dr. Truk is taking care of you for years, Dr. Truk can still take care of you. So nothing will change in that regard.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Maybe billing, or maybe a different name on an address or something like
that.
But otherwise, the same care.
Right.
So, are you excited about what this offers,
very.
Dr. Truka? You're smiling. So
very. It was a very good day to hear the board say yes.
So celebration is in order for
yes.
that, I suppose. How about you, Mr. Claver, after 2 years of work?
After 2 years, this feels really good to be able to say out loud that what we've been working on so hard, because it will improve access to care. It is innovative and fits with, you know, what we've been trying to do here. And, you know, the pharmacy, that effort, bringing all the clinics back home under one roof, those efforts have helped us improve care. And so this is just another one of those. And yeah, that feels really good.
This is what I like to see is, number one, this, you could have just said, this is just too hard. We're not going to do this. It's too much work, mm-hmm. For whatever reason, and said, nah, we're not going to do it. And apparently, probably many hospitals have looked at it and thought that exact same thing. But here you guys are taking it on and making it happen. I love that.
You know, Aaron, as I sat down, as you know, in Hamburg for 13 years and had these same discussions, I ran into that, and I fell to the same level that you're speaking of. I just hit that block wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we have here is all the stars aligned for us. You know, down there, I didn't have a dentist that was willing to work with me, but I had community members who begged and pleaded with me to please do something, bring a dentist in, do something for not only our Medicaid population, but the rest of the Southwest Iowa here. And so I struggled with that. I didn't have the right mix, but it goes to the bigger picture. You get to talk with us, the three of us yeah. here, but it's really the team that's supporting us, behind us, who are really doing the hard work. We had that mix of right leadership that we've been working with, the right team. We had Dr. Truca, who came to us and talked mm-hmm. with us. We had people, as Ron talked with, at the state and federal level, who would listen to us and kind of said what you said. Yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And so that, the stars aligned, that right mixture. And again, I can't reemphasize enough or emphasize enough that the team that we have is, and I've talked about this before, both yeah. of us have, Ron and I, it's so high level. They just get it and work so well out there. So, you know, as people out there in your listening land right now, hopefully understand that this is a shining star out here, MCMH, and we're being here, we're very proud of the work that those folks have been able to do, and our board of directors and how involved they are with our governance is extremely positive.
And every other hospital in Iowa right now in rural, they're going to say, look, what are they doing? Look what they're doing. That's what's taking place right now, which is kind of cool, in my opinion.
I'm proud of the team. I echo what Mike just said. You know, we've got such an amazing group there. And, you know, there's a couple of folks that really deserve some shout-outs. Bryant mm-hmm. Blay has worked his tail off to make this happen. Shauna Boswell, you know, a couple of our senior leaders. And so many others. And I know I should name them all, but I can't without taking the rest of the afternoon. But, you know, those are a couple of standouts that should be mentioned. I've worked very closely with Dr. Truca and her team. It's been supportive.
And her team's remaining. Dr. Truca's not going anywhere.
Right.
So
right.
That's all great to hear.
Yeah,
so,
I think, Mike. Yeah, to that point, Aaron, I think our hope is that the look and feel remains the same for Dr. Truca. I know she's received a couple phone calls or at least talked to a few of her patients. That will remain, and that's been instrumental to us in these other acquisitions that we've talked about, that same clinic personality mm-hmm. state remains the same, because what Dr. Truca has built for years and years and years works.
Yeah,
it just works. So it's not about us taking and changing things like that. It's, you know, how do we support that? Because mm-hmm. that works.
Well, Dr. Truca knows the community. She's been in the community. She knows Southwest Iowa. She knows her patients.
Right.
She knows dental care and running a clinic. So it makes perfect sense. So.
And, yeah, on the other side, we don't know dental.
Right.
So please, you know, help us understand. I just had that conversation with her earlier about recruiting a dentist. I've never recruited a dentist. What questions do I even ask?
Right.
Now she knows those. Yeah. So she'll be instrumental in that part as well.
So, and maybe this calls for speculation and I'm not even there yet, but early 27, mm-hmm. you'll take over dental care PC. Then you had mentioned maybe building that out as a health care or mental
yes,
health or urgent care.
Part of the rules yeah. Under rural health clinic status is that we have to have health care available in the space.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a minor amount of remodeling okay. so that we have clinic space available. And then we'll also, you know, because she's got a very capable space there for an additional dentist. So we'll begin immediately recruiting an additional dentist. So all those things will line up. And, healthcare, dental care, behavioral health care, and all those will come in over time.
Yeah.
And it's our hope that with along the lines of the urgent care is that we run a Monday through Friday, 8 to 8. And then a Saturday from like 9 to 1. And that's really in coordination with our pharmacy mm-hmm. that's out there as well, so that we have that available to us as well. And also as we looked around the area to see what other urgent or after-hour care models, what they look like as well. we believe we're expanding on that too. So
yeah,
similar to that. Yeah, that might be a little influx, but I think for now that's probably what we're trying to look at.
And I'm sure that there are a lot of plans that will be developed as you move along through that whole process too. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we spent a lot of time with, as you know, the press release, the communication. So, again, shout out to Laura Claver and Jamie Warges on developing the communication, not only internally that I've done, but as you, what you read in front of you and our folks out there listening today can go online on our Facebook page and see as well to be able to be brought up to speed on what this all means. Because we've allowed for a link in there. We've developed a web page that they can automatically go to, click on the link, and go to that website address to be able to get those, see that FAQ or the questions and answers, and where to go if I have additional questions and answers. So we've kind of highlighted some of those high-level ones about, for example, will my dental care change? Mm-hmm. You know, will things change for me? No, they won't. So we address those types of questions, the ones we could think of up front, and kind of supported that with some of the answers, you know, along the lines of their records and things like that. And there's a whole host of things that I'm sure goes through the mind of someone that's out there listening today that I just want things to stay the same. And in conversations with Dr. Truca, that's what we want too. Yeah. So that's our goal.
Very good. Again, I'm going to kind of wrap up where I started with that. I think it makes sense, and I think it's exciting for our community. So,
thank you.
And I'm super happy that Dr. Truca is still going to be there too. So,
yay!
Yeah, that's cool. Mr. Claver, what else from your perspective?
This is a good news story.
Yeah.
It really is a good news story. It helps us both preserve and improve access to care. Anybody that's ever had a toothache, I mean, like a really bad toothache, and they can't get it fixed when they need it fixed. It affects all parts of your health and well-being. And imagine someone who cannot get that care. What are they left with?
Yeah.
They're left with coming to an emergency room, which we have happen way too often. People come to our emergency room when all they really need is access to dental care.
Yeah.
And if their insurance won't, you know, participate, then that's really difficult. Mm-hmm. So they can get their insurance covered by coming to the emergency department, but they can't get their insurance by going to the dentist. It makes no sense.
It's
so
frustrating.
So to your point, it makes sense. So by doing this, we can get people into the dentist where the care is appropriate.
Yes.
We don't have a dentist in the emergency department. I can't pull your tooth.
Right, right.
Right? So the alternatives are to, you know, send people home with a shot in their rear end to, you know, hopefully do the pain. And then they got to travel to Iowa City or maybe up to, you know, someplace far away, Des Moines, to try to get that. And transportation's hard and costs are difficult. Yeah. So it's just, there's got to be a better way.
Have I
said that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
these are the frustrations that Dr. Truca sees
every day, all the time.
Yes.
That has become more challenging throughout the course of your practice as well, Dr. Sure. Truca, right? I mean,
sure.
Access is always, it's been an issue for a long time, but it seems it's just continually more challenging,
Right. So if we can work together with Dr. Truca and bring the level of care up to where there's an adequate reimbursement, and we can make all this work together in a rural health clinic setting, that's what we should do. We should do this. This is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes this feel so good. And I want to give a shout out to so many, Senator Shipley, Senator Costello, Representative Moore, you know, our own Senator Ernst, Governor Reynolds, the Medicaid directors and HHS folks. They've all been very cooperative in helping us understand what needs to be done. And so, yeah, while we've got a few hurdles to go, like you just said, this makes sense.
It does.
Right.
It makes sense.
Right.
Absolutely. Dr. Truca, anything else that we need to touch on that you want people to be aware of from your perspective?
I'm very happy working with the hospital. They've all been super confidential, you know, because the last 2 years we've really kind of had to keep things quiet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then They work like a well-oiled machine. They really do a good job and can answer all your questions and help you out. And Ron, of course, started with us. But then when he was retiring and Mike was going to take over, I was like, oh, no. Is he going to want to do this? And they met with us right away and said, absolutely, we're still going. And
yeah.
So that was a big relief. So they've been wonderful.
Yeah.
And Mike has said this a couple of times, but our trustees, fantastic.
Yeah.
They've been supportive, and I just appreciate them so much. They see this vision of improved health care for our community and all of Southwest Iowa.
I'm going to note something that you guys have no idea what I'm about to say, but It is comforting to see, I'm going to say former CEO, CEO Emeritus, current CEO, Mr. Mike O'Neill, Ron Claver, working together cooperatively at this point, because I know sometimes that doesn't happen. That is a comforting for someone that is a client, a patient. That is a very comforting thing, and I love to see the cooperation of the teamwork and to see something new and exciting like this, completely innovative, and every other hospital saying, what's MCMH doing? That is so cool. I mean, this is encouraging stuff.
Thank you for saying that.
Thank you. Yes. Mr. O'Neill.
It does, Aaron. It goes back to 4.5 years ago, a tribute to Ron in that respect and the board of directors at MCMH for thinking that far ahead and laying out that plan for that transition, because this is not a discredit to Ron. This is actually a credit to Ron, but the next day just to keep going, That's a credit. It was a smart plan, because there's so much at stake.
Yeah.
We're dealing with people's lives, and that's one of the things that we continually think about, and that's not to be taken lightly.
No.
For someone to trust like that, and me having done this for a long time, and then having sat there and listened to that, it just made sense.
Yeah.
Like you said,
I'm telling you, it makes sense. Absolutely.
Yeah. So again, please, for all the listeners out there, you go out to mcmh.org, you click under Clinic and Services, you'll see a dental services area there. Click on that. That'll take you to the portion of the website where you can submit a form.
There are a lot of good questions there that are, lots of great answers for that for people if you're curious.
But we can get you the answers to questions that you may have. But our goal, again, to reiterate, is to keep things as much how they are today in the future. And if we can enhance things down the road by doing this, we'll certainly look at it. But this will be at the direction of Dr. Truca and what that looks like.
Very good. Yes, sir.
I just want to say thanks to Kim and Dr. Truca. I mean, it's been a amazing journey, and thank you for being on it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, right.
Appreciate it.
Mr. O'Neill, anything else? This is a big ticket item from the trustees meeting this morning, I would have to say.
Yeah.
But can I take a side note with you, Mr. O'Neill?
Sure.
One of the things that we've had the opportunity to visit about, and it just completely has my interest because I love the technology aspect, was the Da Vinci robotics system. You tell me that was tabled.
Yep, we put that on the agenda. Knowing that part of this approval is tied up in a grant that we submitted for.
Yeah.
We had hoped that we would hear back on whether or not we received that grant by last Friday. We have not heard yet. So in doing so, we went ahead and tabled that till next month, until obviously we hear something from the grant, positive or negative, but that would be a big deal.
That's so cool. Just while you're looking at mcmh.org, go ahead and hop over and open another tab and Google the Da Vinci robotic machine and check that thing out. It is awesome. So
yeah,
anyway.
I get a lot of side eyes when I bring up robot, but what we are finding is, again, physicians coming out of school requesting, that's all they've learned on.
Well, isn't it too kind of to our conversation earlier of recruitment, right? Yes. When you're trying to recruit someone, if you say this is the technology that we have, they're going to say, hey.
I know of hospital CEOs who were told by surgeons they were recruiting that if you don't have a robot, I will not come.
Yes.
Okay, so it's that real now that you must consider it.
Yes. All right, very good. Mr. O'Neill, final word for you. Anything else we need to touch on?
You know, I think overall, we had a very good board meeting, a very good discussion in our board meeting. I am grateful to the board of directors. We're really focusing on growth, orthopedics. Again, we've talked about EMS. We're still focusing on that. And, of course, dental. As you can see by all those things, it goes back to what we've talked about in here. It's expanding access to care locally. That's what we're trying to do. And I think, we're doing a very good job at that. We all understand and are committed to doing that. So, again, thank you to Dr. Truca. And thank you to Ron. This will probably be the last time in this capacity that he'll be on the radio. He is now
we'll come out and make other trouble.
Yeah. Finishing out his emeritus time on that history project, and probably got about 3 weeks, I think, left.
I'm coasting right into it, and I'm enjoying it. And I want to thank Mike for all of his gracious support here these last few weeks, and it's been fun.
Yeah,
so
very good.
Yep.
Nice to see you all. Thanks for visiting with me.
Thank you.
Again, it's CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics, Mike O'Neill, Dr. Kim Truca, and CEO Emeritus, Mr. Ron Claver. Nice to visit with you all.
Right now, it's 84 degrees. Let's get an update on what's happening with the markets at the